Hey, before we start the show today, I just want to make a quick note. For the next 3 months, we're going to be donating 100% of any profits we make from ads on the show to charities helping victims of Hurricane Harvey. So each month, we're going to pick a different local charity organization that's doing effective, impactful work in partnering with people in need in the areas affected by the flood. So for September, we're going to be donating to the Texas Diaper Bank. Displaced families are in desperate need of diapers and supplies, and this organization is filling that need really, really well. And just for kicks, for fun, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we'll match it with a dollar to each month's charity. So if you leave us 500 reviews in the month of September, we're going to donate $500 to the Texas Diaper Bank. Same goes for whatever the charity is in October and November and so on. Like, give us 9,000 reviews, we're going to donate $9,000. And we even recorded this episode a few weeks back, so there's a really dumb review incentive we mentioned that we'll still honor if you want, but we thought this would be a more constructive way to do it. Houston is my hometown. I grew up in Kingwood, which is a suburb like 30 minutes north of downtown Houston. And Caroline and I wanted to do something positive with our dumb little podcast, especially in the long term, because there'll come a time after all the telethons and hashtags when it's not trendy to donate, like we're not going to be thinking about it anymore. So we're trying to have a vision for the future of what long-term help looks like for all of our friends and family in Texas, some of which might be you. So give what you can to effective local charities in Texas, whether it's the Texas Diaper Bank or another one. Leave us a review, 5 stars, preferably, on Apple Podcasts, and we'll match it with a dollar. And enjoy the show.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Just be true, I guess. There's a lot of malarkey in this world, I guess, that can take you off guard, and there's guys. There's parties, high school parties, and, you know, issues with your parents, and all that stuff. But it all passes after the hard times, they all pass, and you always get through, at least, I hope. Just know that God is an understanding God. That doesn't give you leeway to do something wrong, but if you are down or discouraged, he understands, and he'll meet you where you're at, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not a very serious person. As Katie Hudson snags a journalist's mini cassette recorder and starts whispering in the microphone, her playful exuberance is not too difficult to observe. But I am very serious about my passion for my music and how I affect people through it. I realized what my calling was at a young age. I sort of felt it in my bones. But God will use a willing vessel, and there isn't an age limit on being a willing vessel. That's the opening paragraph from the bio on her now defunct website posted in 2001. At just 16 years old, Catherine Elizabeth Hudson didn't expect her first foray into music to be the uphill battle that it was. She grew up a preacher's kid, grew up singing in the church, covering songs by her favorite Christian artists like Jennifer Knapp and Crystal Lewis. And the CCM industry, short for contemporary Christian music, was supposed to be a safer bet than the so-called secular market. On February 8th, 2001, Katie's self-titled album was released on Red Hill Records, which was a sub-label of Pamplin Music, a label that soon thereafter went bankrupt, gutting the album's marketing budget and much of Katie's chance for success in the industry. In total, after performing as the opening act for Phil Joel in one of his side projects from the Newsboys, and then embarking on her own solo acoustic tour, the record sold less than 200 copies. 200. 200. It would be 7 years later until Katie released her follow-up album, One of the Boys, ditching her faith-based lyrics as well as her surname to avoid confusion with the actress Kate Hudson, whose fame she'd surpass almost instantly with her hit single, I Kissed a Girl. Okay, here's the last paragraph from that bio. Mindful of the pressure put on young artists today to serve as positive role models, Katie says she's more than willing to address that challenge. I think there should be a good amount of pressure on the person who is on stage, says Katie. I think anyone who says his or her music doesn't influence is ignorant, because it does. Most of our lives revolve around music. Fashion styles, television, movies, and advertising. They all reflect that. My heart says whatever it feels through my music. If you want to know me, listen to my songs. All I ever want to say to the world is in my songs. And we're going to listen to those songs today on Good Christian Fun. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have a little
good Christian fun.
We nailed it.
Yeah.
Episode over. We should quit while we're ahead.
We did it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Guys, it's Good Christian Fun. This is the I almost said this is the album. This is the podcast where we take a look at the crazy upside down world of Christian pop culture. Mm-hmm. And we're not here to proselytize. We're not here to bash it either. We're just here to say, What the hell is this?
Kevin.
What the heaven is this?
Yes.
What the heaven is this that we're looking at? There's a whole other upside down. Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's a subculture we grew up in. It's very weird, and we're not here to turn anyone Christian. Maybe.
Even though we're technically in the state of California's eyes, Christians ourselves. Yeah.
Yo, we had to file.
But most of Christian pop culture is hilarious, and we're here to talk about it.
Yes.
But before we get into today's subject, Caroline, there's a question that Christians ask each other within their Bible studies at church. Mm. There's going to be a lot of that, by the way. Mm-hmm. A lot of the grunt agreement.
Yeah, you'll get
hear.
A lot of just like, amen.
Mm. Yeah, you hear that when you go to church and there's sermons, and men and women like to agree with the pastor. Some do it with an amen. People, I would say, just go,
Yeah, and it's usually after the pastor like hits this heavy statement that whether or not it makes sense, just the way they say it, you'll get a
Oh, yeah, and it's always
groan.
Like...
groan.
Yeah, it's almost like a riddle, too, the way they...
Yeah, it is.
If God is blah, blah, blah man, then man must blah, blah, blah God. So, Caroline, how's your heart?
Oh, Kevin, thanks for asking.
You're so welcome.
That's such a real question for me.
It is real.
My heart is good. My heart is excited.
For this show?
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, we're like, 5 minutes in.
Yeah, I loved your intro and the theme song. It was the first time hearing that. That theme song is a real whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, I'm really not married to it.
But it does kind of sum up the vibe of, I think, Christian culture.
This is fluid. I'm not thinking about the next 10 episodes
fluid,
of
like
this
gender.
Show. For the intro, I did record that before. And then I just played it, and me and Caroline were just sitting here,
stare at Kevin,
just listening to it. Oh, what I was gonna say is, I'm not married to the theme song. We can change it; it's fine. We can do a different
marriage.
Thing.
I am married to my beautiful, gorgeous husband. Okay. Oh, what a piece of work!
Great.
What a tight.
No one cares. Tight. How? Don't. Please don't. No. I don't care. Here's a piece of
tight
advice
ass.
For
tight
me.
Ass.
What a tight ass. So he's like an uptight guy. He's not fun, because that's what tight ass means.
Sure.
Okay.
You want.
It's good Christian fun, guys. And I know what I was going to say. I was going to say, girl, I'm not thinking about the next 10 episodes of the show. I'm thinking about the next 110 episodes of the show.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin, I didn't ask you. How's your heart?
My heart's pretty good, because I'm very excited to be doing this show.
Yeah.
And to be back in your earbuds, good listeners.
Oh, gosh. Lord.
My acclaimed return to the podcast airwaves.
The public has been clamoring for this.
The caption.
We want Kevin.
Headlines.
We want Kevin.
Unofficial we podcast sequel canceled due to
no
total
trail.
Lack of interest. Utter nicheness and a complete miscalculation.
Sophomore slump for Kevin Porter as he returns to the field.
Sophomore slump for a sophomore frump. And it's a picture of me going, why isn't nobody listening? And like my head is on my hand on a table. My heart
weight.
Is sincerely good. Wait, I'm gaining weight?
No, in your frumpy picture.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
No, you're losing weight.
I would gain the weight
good.
For it. Hey, well, I wasn't fishing.
Oh.
Like the fisher of men. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and his fishermen.
For us, maybe not for you. This isn't a podcast for Christians. It's
right.
A podcast for anybody.
Yeah.
That's interested in this topsy-turvy, upside-down world of Christian pop culture. So I will say this episode is kind of an anomaly in that, one, we're doing this just you and I.
Yes.
Just the two of us.
Yeah, just the
Will
OGs.
Smith. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we will usually be joined by a guest or two. From all parts of the spectrum
my
of
mom,
faith.
My mom, my dad,
my
husband.
We will usually be joined by a guest. And then number two, this is an unusual subject matter for a show. Usually this is going to be a thing that you, the listener, may not be familiar with at all. This will be something that you have no connection to, or it's something that remains a piece of Christian nostalgia for those that grew up with it. But we wanted to start with something that was like a nice open invitation. If you know anything about music, you've probably heard a Katy Perry song.
Who?
Katy Perry?
Katy Perry. I don't know if I told you this ahead of time. I love Katy Perry.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a stan.
Yeah. But okay. Anyway, I think you were getting into the fact that she's probably a good bridge between the two.
This is, it's an anomaly. So let's get into it. Let's talk about young Miss Katy Hudson. Katy Hudson, one record that failed.
Yeah, then, but not her own fault, really.
I don't think so. And it is, this is, so it's an anomaly for a variety of reasons.
Although, if you listen to the record, you might disagree.
Come on, man. Okay, I will say a little background. My attachment to this from a personal level, because some of this I do have an attachment with, I grew up with, and I was pretty into a lot of contemporary Christian music and Christian pop culture for probably a good 5 to 7 year chunk. That year range will probably change as this podcast goes on. I'll be like, I guess I was only into it for 2 years. Yeah. Time slows down when you're a kid. But I do remember seeing young Miss Katy Hudson
in concert. Person.
I saw her at least once. I might have seen her twice. I'm trying to recollect.
Really?
Yeah. So
how could you forget?
I saw her for sure when she was touring with Phil Joel.
What was her haircut at the time? This will help date it.
Her haircut at the time was the blonde. She was a blonde girl.
She did not go brunette.
This is 2001 for sure. She toured with Phil Joel.
When you're saying blonde, listeners, I would like you to imagine early 2000s, really, really zebra striped streaky hair, like chunks of blonde mixed with black and like a reddish brown.
Not really platinum blonde.
And then kind of that pixie blunt cut. Carry on.
By the way, this is a child we're talking about. She is 16 years. She's writing these songs when she's 15.
Right, yeah.
And then the record comes out when she's 16, I believe.
So young.
She was born October 84. So that was February 2001.
Yeah.
Does that make her 16 by the time it comes out? I want to show you. I think so.
Yeah.
People love when people do podcasts.
Yeah,
math.
We should do more of that.
Okay. And we will at the end. What's your verse, your favorite verse, plus my favorite verse?
How many years ago was 1969?
However many years, I'm sure it was nice.
Nice.
But is that our amen, saying nice after someone says 69?
It's kind of
Should we have said that there might be swearing on this show at the top of it?
Oh, yeah. I hope no one feels duped.
If you're listening with your kids... Your kids got to grow up sometime. And what better way than your two trusted friends, Kevin and Caroline?
Hey, little bitches. Welcome to the real world. Let's grow up, okay?
Okay? Hi, okay? So my personal time, I did see her
Katy
in concert.
Hudson, you saw her. What was she like?
Well, I do remember, and I reconnected with an old buddy of mine that I literally hadn't seen in 10 years. A couple weeks ago, he was driving through LA, and he was one of my friends that I would go to all these shows with, all these Christian music
this
shows
with him.
Yeah, I saw the show with him.
Oh, wow!
And we both remembered we saw the show. She was great. She only did 3 songs on this tour. So when she would open up for this other guy, she would do 3 songs. It was "Search Me," and I think she might have done "Last Call" and another one. "My Own Monster."
Yeah.
So it wasn't a long set at all.
It was
all.
Just like her opening thing.
She was the first of 3 acts of the night.
Oh, wow.
The other one was a European dance duo named Vienna.
What the heck? Did you know her going into this concert?
No.
Or this was how you found out about her?
Well, it's hard. It's hard, man, because literally now it was 16 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird to have fuzzy
memories
about this stuff. But I do remember hanging out with her after the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Because a buddy of mine worked. This is in Houston, Texas in 2001. Oh. And my buddy Kent worked at the local radio station, 89.3 FM, KSBJ, God Listens.
Shout out.
Shouts out. I'm sure we'll be referring to them a lot because a lot of my experience in this world comes from
that hub.
That's what mom and dad had on all the time. So that's what we listened to.
Yeah.
So I remembered he was like doing an interview with her, and I do believe he recorded something. And I asked him for the tape earlier this week. I haven't talked to him in literally like 12 years. So he hasn't, like, I think he's still looking for it. If he gets it by the time this comes out.
Yeah, we should put it in.
I'll just insert it in right here.
So what do you remember from hanging out with her? Did you talk?
I remember we all had a crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
And she was charming. And she was charming in a way that wasn't like, You're pretty.
Yeah, you like know how to work people. It was like she seemed to have a good time.
She kind of knew what she was doing in the I don't mean that in a negative way.
She knew what she was doing.
I don't mean that in a negative way. I don't mean in a way that all women are manipulative, a la, wait, who's lady that made King David?
Oh, Bathsheba.
Bathsheba. Yeah, not the Bathsheba.
For the listeners, so, Bathsheba, real quick backstory. Oh, this brings us to a segment that
and
we
a real
have
quick
to do.
Bath story,
it's
honestly.
Called Godsplaining, and it's Godsplaining. Basically anytime we refer to something that is like a Christian thing or a biblical thing that is lingo that maybe needs some explanation, we're going to Godsplain that to you. So we'll start out with Bathsheba.
Yeah, because we're not going to assume that all of you are experienced with all this discussion. And if you are, and this is tedious, sorry, buddy.
I'll keep it quick.
Yeah.
King David, he's a big king. He's great. People love him.
Big king.
Big king.
Terrific.
Huge. Wrote all the Psalms. Good guy. Most of them. But he saw a lady, a naked lady, his neighbor, bathing out on the roof, and fell for her and sent her husband to the front lines in the battle, so he got killed. So
his faith was strong, but he needed proof, and he saw her bathing on the roof. The moonlight and her beauty overthrew him.
Through you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Is this Bruce Springsteen? Because if so, I'm listening.
Oh,
no, but she clearly
pricked up.
She knew how to like charm small groups of people.
Which is such a hard skill, especially when you're a teenager. I was probably horrific
at
it.
Yeah, you were probably insufferable. As was I.
Painful.
And at the time, I'm 11, 12.
Oh, you were 11?
I mean, if it was 2001, I was 11 years old, for sure.
So she was like a cosmopolitan, adult, cool girl.
Yeah, well, she was 5 years older, and when you're that young,
that's like
20 years older, but in a cool way.
Yeah.
So I remember we were all in love with her,
mm-hmm.
and we all had like different degrees of crushes on her. And
were you talking about your crushes with each other? Like, I'm going to talk to Katie.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
But I think most of it came from hanging out with her, because a buddy of mine, as I mentioned in the open, album sold less than 200 copies. My buddy Jordan does have a signed copy.
Wow.
Signed by her.
Just, I wonder if that's valuable.
Well, if you look this album up on Amazon.com,
yeah,
it goes for between $200 to $400.
What? For the CD?
Yeah, because there wasn't that many press. The label went bankrupt, so they couldn't make anymore.
Oh my gosh.
And this was kind of a flop in all ways. Like, it didn't get a lot of radio airplay.
Yeah.
It wasn't very radio friendly.
No. And some of the critical reception was not super friendly.
Yeah, so that's the extent of my personal experience with it. And then that group of friends of mine, we would like sing along to in the car to some of these songs.
Oh yeah, because she was probably like your artist, like your secret.
Sure. But it's not even like this is the thing. Christian equivalent of blah blah blah, because looking back on it, that's what I thought. But seeing that, it sold so poorly, this was super niche. Like, we were cool and indie for being
gosh.
So into
guys,
her.
Yeah.
We were a little cool.
So and we, cool, 11, we, Kevin. You're the coolest shit I've ever seen.
We loved Growing Pains. We loved Growing Pains, which we'll get to.
Okay, so yeah. I really kind of fell for Katy Perry when I saw her documentary that she did, Pieces of Me.
Part of Me?
Part of Me.
Clearly, you're a
biggest
fan.
Biggest fan in the world.
I can't.
And you can see how charming she is and how real she is and how it's not very hard for her to be Katie.
Sure. I mean,
but they go into this Christian background a lot, and they spend a lot of time on her parents, who are their own like kind of big charismatic figures in her story and in the world.
And that's important to like, I think that's a helpful piece of context for kind of her career arc. So,
yeah, because she grew up in a charismatic church, and a charismatic church, they're a lot more in tune with like the Holy Spirit aspect of Christianity, and a lot more in tune to like healing and miracles, and that's a big part of theirs. And their services are really exciting and like kind of loud and like a lot going on, and people are shouting out, and it's very intense.
So the charismatic churches are the ones where the pastors are like low-key wizards. Like, they can knock people over by touching them.
Yeah, some of
stuff.
Them are. Yeah, and I actually went to a charismatic church briefly in junior high.
As did I.
Yeah, and got pretty involved in it.
Did anyone push you down?
No, but they did kind of heavily encourage me to speak in tongues.
As did they for me,
yes,
as
which
well.
Is, a
is that
big
good
part
grammar?
Yeah, and I think a part of that. So anyway, so she grew up in this, and her parents are actually like, well-known speakers within the charismatic church community.
Keith
and
Hudson,
they tour.
Yeah.
And so she grew up in this really entrenched, kind of intense one, and she doesn't speak very kindly of it now.
My upbringing was Pentecostal Christianity.
Pentecostal.
We were slain in the spirit. You know, if you put your hand in there, go down. The presence of God in my life was absolute.
Our parents were traveling ministers for many years and still are, and so we would travel with them a lot. We were so engulfed in 100% Pentecostal Christianity.
I had no idea that other people weren't like how our family was.
We weren't allowed to eat Lucky Charms because luck is of Lucifer.
I couldn't watch the Smurfs growing up.
I didn't know who Michael Jackson was until I was like 14.
The Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland, all banned. I think Sister Act 2 was the only movie that she was allowed to see.
Really?
Not Sister Act 1. And I don't know why. You'd have to ask her parents.
Right, joyful, joyful.
Of course, every parent wants the best for their children. And I guess we just sort of put barriers up. We didn't want them to get them involved in things that would get them, you know, hurt them in early years.
Okay. My take on this, and not to be terribly judgmental, her parents screwed up, man.
Yeah, it's...
That's what it feels like to me.
Well, the way she talks about it now is, and I think from her parents' perspective, they were thinking they were protecting her, but the way she talks about it was like, it was such a controlling, intense environment mm-hmm. that, of course, I rebelled and like ran as fast as I could, as soon as I could.
Sure. I mean, her arc in general, like what her career became after this album and going, you know, running towards like, look, I kissed a girl and like the kind of faux... provocative stuff. It's like, yeah, that's what pastor's kids do. Like there's nothing novel about that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, we weren't allowed to watch Rugrats, and then, you know, I'm grinding on stage. It's like,
yeah, it's so common that it's like a trope among Christian.
It's totally a trope, yeah.
Like world of like, oh, PK, pastor kids, like of course they are a mess
yeah.
all the time. And not all the time, but like because they have such high standards put on them and they have to perform a lot.
Yeah, and even when pastors are like seem pretty legit, I will say just a snap judgment on this family.
Yeah.
What is going on here sounds less like biblical Christianity as we understand to be and more like just arbitrary moralism.
Yeah.
They couldn't eat Lucky Charms.
Yeah, Lucky Charms.
Like, yeah, if your pastor dad says you can't eat marshmallows because of God, I'm going to run away from the church. Of course.
Because those marshmallows are friggin' good.
Heart stars, horseshoes.
Holy smokes.
Have clovers and blue moons.
Oh my gosh.
Pots of gold.
If that's from Satan, sign me up. Church of Satan, I'm number one fan.
Sign me up, Satan. Yeah, also, I will say, and, you know, I don't want to be mean on this show, but her dad does look like a cross between Mr. Clean and the old lady from the Old Navy commercials.
He looks like a weird through the looking glass version of Bono to me.
Catorce, indeed. Yeah, I got a bit, like, I remember watching this documentary a couple years ago, and I immediately got a bad vibe from him. I was like, oh, that's why. And I mean, he might, like, he probably,
yeah, and I think
her parents
have,
probably do love her and
yeah,
everything.
And,
but.
And in recent interviews, too, it seems like they've patched things up and they appear together yeah. a lot. And it seems like she spends a lot of time, and she does talk about how they ground her, you know, in like,
sure.
in reality, not like they make her go
yeah.
to her room.
But I think, and what will be helpful for this conversation is, like, let's not pretend that her upbringing was model at all. It just,
right, yeah.
It just sounded like it was a very confusing time. If you're a kid in that sort of environment, that's going to be confusing as hell.
Yeah.
And your parents seem, as loving as they may be, it just seems a little
bit off. Let me ask you this.
Off.
What things were you not allowed to watch in your house?
Oh, you name it. I mean, the big one was The Simpsons because
oh,
I
yeah.
really wanted to watch that. And I put together like this whole packet of, Mom, you don't understand. There's Christian
you
characters.
You made a packet?
Ned Flanders. I would print out these articles
you
from
made Ned Flanders,
from the
like,
internet.
You try to convince her that he's the like hero of the show.
Yeah. I mean, and he is portrayed
it's
in a positive
really about
light.
Ned.
Yeah. Ned's the secret hero. And so finally I convinced her. And this was September 2001. And then 9/11 happened. And then it was all news coverage of 9/11. So they stopped showing Simpsons reruns. And I was really mad. So that's what I associate 9/11 with
just
forever.
Just one more nail in the coffin for those terrorists.
Yeah.
Ruining my Simpsons content.
I mean, and there was a lot growing up that we weren't allowed to watch. But then as we got older.
Yeah.
you know, by the time I was in high school, Mom and I were watching Kill Bill together. Like, yeah, it was all fine.
It felt like it was pretty arbitrary for me, too. Like, I wasn't allowed to watch Pocahontas because, you know, there's gods.
Oh,
and there's
yeah, and because of the pantheism and the trees talk.
Yeah, and everything
and
is
pro-environmentalist.
Yeah, and also it's anti-white.
Sure.
Woof. And then, but then also we could watch The Matrix, which is extremely violent. Yeah, like,
because Neo's a Christ-like figure. Is that
yeah,
why?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
It's loose. So. But I feel like it did kind of like slow down as
you're
I grew
the youngest,
up.
Right?
Yeah, and we're the youngest. So
yeah, so it was like by
really
the time they got
off.
To us, it's like whatever.
Who's got time
leave,
to
me alone.
Leave me alone.
I just want to be alone right now. So yeah,
and then
so,
we fought for boundaries and
yeah. So that was Katie's upbringing. But let's get into talking about the music. Let's open with the opening track. Listen to a little bit of "Trust in Me" by Katy Perry. I mean Hudson. I like the theremin there, like, ooh, close encounters.
Spooky.
This is 16 years old, Katie Hudson, but listen to her voice already. Remember this hook all the time. Trust in Me.
Trust in Me.
Opening track. So there's a little bit of like, on this song and really no others, I think, I get Evanescence vibes.
Yes, yes. I want to talk about her voice because...
Sure.
You can tell there is a raw talent in there, mm-hmm. but it is so raw. And for most of this album... As I kept listening to songs, I was just like, she's just singing so hard.
Yeah.
And I want her to like relax a little bit. And I think that, of course, got refined as she got older. But it's like,
sure.
She can't take a break at any like long note.
She's
you know?
Dancing as fast as she can.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that is a very, I don't know, when you're the best at your church, you can do that. And everyone's like, wow, you know?
Look at her go.
Yeah.
I will say, though, as someone who is like entrenched in a lot of, female Christian pop vocalists, a la Jackie Velasquez, Rachel Lamp, even like Cesar Rico, Jennifer Knapp. This was so different from that.
Yeah, yeah,
because
that's
it's
true.
Not pop, and no. it's not the boring adult contemporary stuff. It's so, you know, strange and kind of hard-edged and not
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, there's nothing soothing about it.
Right, and maybe the way I love Bruce Springsteen, I think he has a perfect voice for him,
yeah.
is why it's like, oh yeah, I love this voice. This
yeah,
is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I do like it.
I don't know. I go back and forth. Like, for... like, it's interesting, but then at points it got very annoying for me. I can't
imagine how.
I want to quote a critic named Stephen Thomas Erlewine, who wrote this when this album came out.
For what publication?
From All Music.
All Music was harsh as hell on this album.
Yeah, and I keep thinking about this quote because I feel like it's so accurate, not only to this, but
sure.
just like a lot of Christian music. Describing, oh, here's the quote. the record's overall sound is the kind of assaultive, overproduced wall of sound that some CCM rockers do in order to prove they're contemporary. That quote, wall of sound, is like, yeah, that's it. It's just like so much coming at you at one time.
I think on that first track, that's absolutely true.
Yes.
And there's not like a lot of a distinctive character to it in
no.
terms of the arrangement and stuff.
Yeah.
Lyrically... it's, you know, sometimes, especially for female pop vocalists, it's always, is this song about the Lord or your boyfriend? Mm-hmm. This is pretty unequivocally about God.
Right.
Across, like, just, you said, don't worry, I've healed the blind man, I've set the captives free. Don't worry, all you've got to do is put your trust in me.
Yeah, it's a supernatural being. Boyfriend. If your boyfriend can do that, wow.
Oh, yeah. Do we want to talk about the gospel test?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. We've all heard of the Bechdel test, the three-point system of, is this movie good for women? Is it feminist? Do two women talk to each other about someone that's not a man?
The listener should note that Kevin is mansplaining the Bechdel test right now.
I really wasn't trying to. I wanted to avoid that. I don't mean to condescend. I know you know what that is.
I know. No, it's funny, because when I tried to explain it, I did a terrible job, so keep going.
Yeah. I would never say that, though.
Oh, thank you.
But I do believe it. Mm. So,
ally. He's an ally.
So, ladies. I'm wearing a shirt that says men aren't funny.
He'll ally your ass.
Oh, please don't. I'll ally your ass? That's neither good nor bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I think it would be helpful for us to apply the gospel test to some of these songs.
Yes.
Especially as we go further. Maybe we'll encounter some on this album. But the gospel test, it can be, does this song accurately reflect? Is this song about God? Does it pass?
Yeah, it's the parsing. Gospel?
Am I explaining it shittily again?
No. It's parsing the fine line of, is this Christian song about God, something vague, or a boyfriend?
Right.
Sometimes it is hard to tell.
Yeah.
So our gospel test is to decide how do we qualify if something is about God or not. And I think we decided that
if it doesn't use Jesus, Lord, God.
Oh, yeah. If it's not like an obvious
Father,
saying
Holy
that word.
Spirit.
Yes.
If it uses the pronoun he.
Yeah. If it describes he as something sort of supernatural in a way.
Yeah.
Of like, he has all the love in the world, or he created things. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh, it's the big guy upstairs, as we say.
And if it, well, as she says in Growing Pains.
That's right.
and if it's about redemption at all, is that the second point? We can do this later.
So, but applying that to this song, we say this is...
Passes with spades, man. Yeah. With flying colors. Yeah. Passes in spades?
Passes in spades.
Okay. That's what David Spade does when he like drives really fast with his shades.
Kevin, I like that joke.
Thank you. I think you should do that instead of laugh at my jokes.
Another critic said, to avoid any potential confusion, it should be stated up front that this is not Kate Hudson, the 21-year-old daughter of Goldie Hawn, who's up for an Oscar this year for her role in the film Almost Famous. I read that and I actually laughed, like, oh, like anyone would confuse them. But that was probably a real concern, which is why she changed her name.
Totally. And isn't that wild?
It's so funny to me.
I mean, I'm glad she did.
No knocks on Kate Hudson. Love Kate Hudson.
Oh, yeah. She was great 10 years ago.
Oh, when was that's a knock. Knock, knock. Kate Hudson.
It's not really a knock. It's just, what has she done in 10 years?
Fabletics.
You're right. I forgot about Fabletics. Okay, but the one thing that I didn't get listening to this album growing up is the most obvious point of comparison in the secular music market. Listen to the beginning of the second track, Piercing. Okay, so the piano bass rock stuff, and even like the slight over singing, it's 1,000%. She listened to Tidal and Win the Pond. She loves Fiona Apple.
Oh, Fiona Apple.
This is...
Yeah.
And she, like, cited her on the website, like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my play for, like, a Fiona Apple thing. Like, Fiona Apple and Jennifer Knapp, which is another CCM, contemporary Christian music artist.
Yeah.
Who was big at the time. Those were, like, two of her big influences.
This also reminded me of very early Regina Spektor.
Sure, just any like piano based rock.
Glottal things like.
Yeah, although Katie Hudson doesn't sound like a monkey giving birth at any
You know what? You can shut the heck up.
I love Regina
she's
Spektor.
Number one.
No,
and
she's good.
I will not hear that.
There's a few songs
by
Regina Spektor.
You just compared her to a monkey bouncing around,
giving birth.
given birth.
Yeah, while bouncing around.
Yeah, flying endorsement from Kevin.
And it, hey,
you know what? It's just really nothing new that guys don't like Regina Spektor. What? I've read it all.
Caroline.
Y'all think she's all campy. I love whatever.
Regina. No, this is a misunderstanding. I love Regina Spektor. I love Samson. I love Better. I love...
All I've ever heard from you is how much she sounds like a silly dope.
But I still like her.
Really?
Both things can be true. Welcome to Good Christian Fun.
Oh, good. This is some good Christian fun.
You can make fun of something and love it at the same time.
What you just heard also was just one of those bricks being taken out of the wall between us, Kevin, as co-hosts.
Oh, yeah.
We're better friends now.
One of the... I see. I thought you were saying one of those bricks is being taken out of, like, the wall supporting our friendship, and it's going to come crumbling down. Because either could be true.
Shaky.
No, there's a few... For real, there's a few Regina Spektor songs every time I hear them, I think of you. Because I remember listening to them in the car with you, like, 4 years ago or whatever.
So, she's the best.
She's good. She's coming to town in a few months, I think. Or she might have already come.
If anyone wants to buy me tickets, listeners, buy me. Buy me things. Buy me tickets.
Well, I think you have to reveal your last name first. That was a big question going into this. As Caroline said, can I just not say my last name?
The thing is, I want to be famous, but like an anonymous famous.
Like a hacker? What's an anonymous
not
famous?
Anonymous. I am Legion.
Okay.
You should expect me. No, just like no one really gets into my personal life, but they just adore me.
Great. Not anonymous.
Doesn't work like
that. I don't know what you're describing. Ain't anonymous. I'm so sorry.
I'll post my my Amazon wish list and you guys can buy me stuff.
And social security number.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Search Me. This is like the closest I think this album has to a radio-friendly song.
Yes.
And this is one of the ones that she would do a lot in concert.
This, I feel like she hits her stride with this song.
Three songs in, little Fiona Hudson's coming into her own. There's also a lot of Alanis Morissette vibes, too.
Yeah.
Let's listen.
My heart. Through this laughter, you feel my pain.
She sounds young, and I think that's okay. Drums. And now it's a 10,000 Maniac song.
This guitar reminded me of like good bachelor dates.
No, I would
ding,
say
ding, 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 and they like kiss.
Oh my god. I would say this is more like Cranberries, Natalie Merchant vibes, like
I feel like just that chorus, just that part.
Right. But also, it's like, I'm really looking forward to getting to know Nick tonight. Or
I
whatever.
Feel like I could be falling in love with her. Maybe.
But I like this. I like this. I think the songwriting's pretty good here.
Yeah, I thought this was a really sweet song. Like, this felt... It didn't feel too old for her the way some of the songs did, or too silly. This felt like a very sincere song. This also, to me, sounded like a song that people would sing in church, like for worship.
Oh, for like a worship service? Sure.
Yeah, which is like, worship songs are usually a little easier to sing along with. They're a little simpler. They're a little bit like more general.
Yeah. they're less performative. Like
yeah.
Like
there's not a lot of runs. Yeah, like everyone can sing along. So...
Unlike me when I have diarrhea, not a lot of runs in worship songs. That was for you. Caroline loves poo. She's laughing because she's
thinking of you like holding your butt running out of the room right now.
Well, I gotta go. Well, imagine it at service at church. Like, there's no runs on stage, but there is in the crowd.
What a delightful little picture.
But yeah, okay, so the chorus is, you search me, you know all the secrets of my heart.
Yeah.
You search me, revealing the mysteries of who you are. So
it's very sweet.
It's about something. Like, a lot of these Christian songs end up just being, you're great.
Yeah, like,
okay.
Give it up for the guy.
Yeah, and they operate in broad generalities. And honestly, I feel like this and more, I'm not saying like, this songwriting is so good. That's why they didn't play her on the radio. But I do feel like when you focus on specifics in this industry, that it does keep you from achieving.
Right, for being the big radio star.
Right, as it would in mainstream pop that's non-Christian or whatever.
And she's clearly talking about a kind of a real pain, and you can tell the way she sings it and the way the lyrics, which I think she wrote most of these songs. I don't know if she wrote this one.
Yeah, here's the deal, and here's
why. It's very personal and like a not in a hokey, pandering way. It's like this felt real for her.
Sure. I mean, this, so looking it up, yep, every song on this album, all 10 of them, are written by her. Two are co-written with other people.
Okay.
But otherwise, this.
Pretty incredible.
Well, compared to all of her other albums subsequently, there's like five writers on all of those. I mean, there's probably. I don't think there's any song on any of her subsequent albums where she has sole writing credit.
Yeah.
So
you don't get any more raw Katie than this.
Hey, listeners, we know you want that raw Katie. Well, listen to this.
Kids.
It's your cousin, Robin Katie. You know that young Katie you've been looking for? Listen to
this. The other thing about this song is it's talks about that really common metaphor that Christians use, which is kind of like the father-son, father-daughter relationship.
Sure.
And kind of a protector and someone that knows you and loves you, like, unconditionally and that kind of thing. Which I found especially poignant, considering that it seems like her relationship with her dad is kind of strained in a lot of ways, and especially during this teenage time.
Yeah.
I thought that was extra sweet. It felt like no one, not even my family, everything is, like, kind of crazy, and people think certain things about me that aren't true. You understand it, God.
Yeah, and just like the idea of stability.
Yeah.
In the midst of a lot of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Not cuckoo for Lucky Charms, because they're not allowed to have them.
Cocoa Puffs, I think, were approved.
I mean, and I don't want to harp too much on her dad and make him like the secret villain of this. But he was on InfoWars with Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Like, I've looked into him a little bit
point
where I was like,
I listened
never
to that
mind.
Too, and it was just like,
yeah, it's a bummer. Like, yeah. I feel like there's a direct connection to, it doesn't matter. I don't need to create a narrative. But I'm just saying, her dad maybe could have done a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I blame him more than anyone else, as I do all men.
Men are all responsible for. Someone to blame for, mm-hmm. and just really kind of go for it.
Yeah, and when I say blame, it's like, for what? I don't know.
For her
success.
For incredible success.
I mean, listen, bad dads equal good art. Talking cats in
dads,
the cradle.
If you really want to help your daughters,
be a piece.
Be weird.
Yeah, be weird. If you want your kids to make good art, be a weirdo. I'm not even saying don't love them.
Be
just
weird.
Be weird about it.
Be weird out of love. I really want to play Last Call.
Yeah.
This song really threw me.
Here we go. This starts with.
I was so not ready for it.
This is, I guess, a trope in all of music, which is. A band member yelling in the background. Listen. What cue are we in? It's Saturday Night Live.
Your host, Jenny Slate.
Oh, they won't let her host. I love Clarence Clemons in the background just wailing on the horn. The ghost of Clarence Clemons, baby. Even though he's alive when this came out.
Oh my gosh.
So that number's real.
Yeah, that was her real church's phone number,
yeah,
right?
So this was like...
Which I really wish she'd be like, call 420-6969.
Nice.
Nice.
Amen. It's like a weird, this is like branded content
it's
for her dad's ministry.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Of like, it's like a pitch for her
kind of
church.
What a great infomercial that less
really
than 200
good.
People heard.
I know. I wonder, did you try calling the number and seeing if it still works?
No. Should we?
Yeah.
Should we right now?
Yeah. What town is she from? Because we need the area code.
Oh, Santa Barbara.
The other thing about this that is bizarre when you watch these kind of behind the scenes videos, mm-hmm. the ones you sent me, is she's playing in a band with like 30 plus aged old, you know, older men, basically.
Oh, and some of those clips.
Yeah, like her whole band is like these older dudes.
Sure.
And she's just kind of around. And I feel like that influenced some of these songs. And they're such like a jam band, like dad jazz.
Yeah, there's some dad rock. Yeah. There's a little dad rock
happening.
And it's
like, why did this girl pick this vibe? It seems so weird for her.
Okay, what's the number?
It's 805 is the area code.
805.
Oh. 899-3833.
Should I call this number?
Yes, you should.
As we're recording, it is 9 o'clock on a Tuesday. Or on a Wednesday.
You know, but if I was... Oh, no.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected.
Wow.
Or is no longer
no surprise.
In service.
What?
If you feel you have reached this recording in error,
yeah?
Please check the number and try your call
okay,
again.
Okay, you don't need
check
to be sassy.
Number.
Yeah.
Okay,
I got a little
right.
Tude from Siri. I don't need that.
what
a metaphor for her Christian music career.
Oof.
It's not really a slam. It's fine. Yeah, so hello. I'm searching for a man with love-filled eyes and them healing hands.
Yeah, it's kind of like
okay,
a sexual...
Okay, so I don't know if this passes the gospel test.
It's weird. Like, why would you make an innuendo lyric about Jesus?
Love-filled eyes and them healing hands.
Healing hands.
But then the chorus does go, take my call, collect my change, because Lord... I'm calling on your name.
Yeah.
But it's like a sexy Lord.
It's a sexy.
Yeah.
Sexy call to Jesus. One of those late night booty calls.
Hey, we've all had a booty
we've
call.
We've all been there. You're laying in bed.
Father God, you up.
You're racked with anxiety.
WYD question mark.
You need to pray.
Just send an eggplant emoji. Okay. Don't want to leave. Don't want to say goodbye. Still 15 minutes for my 35. And where's this good and goodbye? Because talking to you is bringing me this life. Yeah, life. This life. Yeah.
Again, these lyrics for a 16-year-old girl calling on a payphone? Like, just seems like such a set of references that are so not her world.
I mean, payphones existed back then. Did you not listen to Serial?
I didn't. Like, did you know, there's a 35-cent limit to your collect calls?
Oh, is that what she's referring to with 35?
I think so. I couldn't figure that out.
Whoa. Wait, was this a co-write? Let me look this up. No, it's not. This is her all on her own.
Well, okay, maybe I'm not giving her credit.
The only co-writes are Piercing and Faith Won't Fail.
A little mini adult.
Little mini adult. Okay, so that's Last Call. That's a...
Something
it's
else.
It's a jumble. Let's listen to Growing Pains. We got it.
Oh my God.
This is a special place in my heart. Let's just listen to it for a little bit.
You would think the heck of an, a simple song, a photograph of mine, to show this public eye what to offer. I may not have a PhD or speak in eloquent philosophy. I'm nothing more than simply mayo say.
Kevin is pantomiming the entire song.
Trying to say. Hey, I'm just a babe in so many ways. I'm still growing, still stretching, still breaking in these new shoes. Looking for a way to make a mark of my own. I'm just a spring chick, way behind the ears. It's a part of life, so there's no need to fear.
Fiona Apple sound alike.
Totally, but she also cited that, hang on.
That's the wisest of men.
Oh, perhaps someday.
It's such a cute song.
I love this song.
I love this song,
unironically.
Too. Yeah.
This is a good song.
It's delightful to sing with, to hear.
Yeah.
You hear her silliness, like she's just an actress in this song.
Yeah. It's perfectly age appropriate.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like, oh, this is creepy that you're singing about
yeah,
this. It doesn't feel like an overreach. Weird. It doesn't feel like dad rock. It just feels like a perfect little...
When I listened to this, I was like, this is what the whole album should have been like. More
sure.
Of this. I wanted more of this.
Yeah. No.
And it's... it is age appropriate. She's talking about like who she is, where she's at, acknowledging that she knows she needs to grow up. It's adorable.
Yeah, she cited Queen as a big influence for this.
Oh, interesting.
Which I 1,000% hear.
But I'm going through.
Yeah, it's great.
This is, I guess, gospel if you wanted it to be.
No? I think it's more like, it almost feels like a Rufus Wainwright song.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Caroline and I are not professional music critics, so we're like, it's kind of like that guy, right?
There are references. Yeah. Like, it sounds like on that Allstate commercial.
I have the most delightful memories of being in Jordan Simzik's silver convertible Mustang,
aww,
driving home after play rehearsals, listening to this song, singing along to every word, doing all the, like, and this was almost like,
you would love this, you little theater kid.
That's the thing, is like, it was, this is a weirdly formative song for me. Growing pains, hey.
Yeah, actually, Nate said, Nate is my sweet, handsome, tight husband.
No one cares. No
he
one
said
cares.
This sounded like a musical.
Sure, no, it's like, totally
yeah, it
theatrical.
Is. It is, exactly.
But this is something that I feel like, growing up in Texas, being a guy, sharing this with other male friends, we weren't like, it was a bunch of guys and girls in the car. It was just me and a couple other guys jam along to this. This aww was like a defining mark of like, it's okay to enjoy this stuff.
Yeah,
and
like,
it's okay
we're
to
not
like,
all feeling weird about this.
Yeah, and the idea that femininity isn't toxic or something to be segregated
right
with from male energy.
Or
and just
annoying.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It, like, it was,
oh, baby, don't worry about the thing.
That wasn't for anybody.
Wink.
I just lip synced.
Yeah,
just lip syncing work on a podcast.
Like, held eye contact while he did it, and it was a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ugh.
Thank you.
Ugh. I can do without that.
This is.
I bet she had so much fun singing this live. I bet this is where she really shone.
You know what? I saw a live version of this on YouTube. I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah.
It was just acoustic guitar.
And she, like, kind of stops the song midway through.
Is
that
she?
This song? Yeah. And she's like, you guys don't know what to do with this, do you? She says that, and then she keeps going, and I think she ends it early.
You guys don't get it.
It's either this song or Last Call.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That she sent me.
She
anyway.
Says, you guys don't know what
yeah,
to do with this.
Yeah, she seems super checked out the entire song, and, like, her head is down. And
in fact, you are so gay. You are so gay.
Wait.
This givest me an idea.
And that's a song. That's not Kevin. Just making.
Oh out. Goodness! If no one knows that song,
aspect of Katy
yeah,
Perry.
That's "You Are So Gay" on one of the boys. It's on one of the boys, right?
Yeah.
It's not Teenage Dream.
I wonder how much she has to distance herself from that song now, because it's not.
I'm sure she wouldn't sing it now.
Good.
Yeah. Well, in her follow-up song to that, Transphobia is dope. Does not play well now. I will say that is not
her other
well.
Follow-up. Everyone is born straight.
Yeah.
You choose to be gay.
And then her other follow-up, right, white supremacy, IZKOOL. It's not good. Like, it doesn't pass the test. Certainly doesn't pass the gospel test.
Poof.
I'll say that much.
Tell you what.
Poof. Poof, poof indeed. Mm. And then there's some other songs on here.
Yeah, you know what? It's just actually a series of sound wall songs is what I would
sure
call them. Just, yeah, just a lot.
I want to, but before we give our final thoughts on Miss Katy Hudson, I want to play a little clip. Footage does exist of whatever small, teeny, tiny tour she went on in
yes
2001. There's a lot of footage of her just like, on the road, hanging out, and you
it's so fascinating.
Well, and you do get a good sense of like, I had this very weird, and I hope this isn't condescending or weird to frame it like this, but I had some sadness watching all this
oh
stuff.
Me too.
Because
it was very sad to
watch. Why was it sad for you?
It's such an obvious case of like child talent that goes out and feels like invigorated by their talent and how they're being enjoyed, and then also is like tragically lost in this world too, and
yeah
misses mom and dad and doesn't know how to say that, and
sure
is yeah I think can feel like a hollow version of themselves. I mean, in one of these videos she just starts breaking down and crying when she talks about her
oh
home.
Yeah, she says,
you know what, you hate your parents so much you miss them.
Yeah, which she is, says, I never miss home, but I miss home right now.
Yeah, so there's a lot of this. And looking at the footage, one, it just, like that, and maybe because it's the version of her or whatever that I met personally. Yeah. And like some of the stuff that I grew up with, like obviously my attachment to even just that song is stronger than whatever Firework, Roar, Swish Swish. Like that's the same person who did all this stuff.
Yeah.
So when I see the stage version of her now, I see 16-year-old Katie Hudson with different hair and makeup, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So it and I don't mean that like, see, she was more pure. She should still be doing Christian music. I don't think that. But I think there is, even as kind of lost and probably messed up as she was back then, there was sort of more of a simplicity to her life. Like her life now is
she hadn't
complex.
She didn't have a persona yet, you know?
Yeah, and there was nothing to live up to. It's just like, oh, this is fine. Oh, and okay, this will segue great into this clip.
I always want it to be a gift. I don't want it to be a gig. I hate that. I really do. And everyone thinks I'm like a superstar and I'm, you know, like rock star. But that's not how I am at all. Like, I'm just some little kid from California who plays the guitar and sings. And I write what I think needs to be written. I write what I deal with. I write what I want to say to people that I can't say through my mouth, I guess. It's just easier that way. I'm not a huge deep person. Like, I might seem like really deep right now or something, but I'm not. I'm really afraid of death, actually, too.
What?
I'm afraid that I'll be 80 one day.
Okay.
And everybody I know will be passed on. I'll just be waiting.
Dang.
Cut two.
I have lots of songs to write about. Lots of things to write about. I have, like, this writer's block that I've had for, like, 6 months. It really stinks.
Which is a third of her lifespan right now.
I don't know, seeing her in that state.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, like, what the solution is here. But I do think...
Just growing up.
I guess so. But also, I think it's interesting, especially as we're recording this in 2017, hers is a career now marked by performative authenticity to combat inauthenticity in some ways. So it's hard when you reboot your career every 2 to 4 years and say, JK, this is me.
Yeah, that's interesting when I think about it. Like, I think that's what every pop star has to do. I don't think that's unique to her.
Sure, it's like a Madonna model, and I think Gaga tried to do it a little bit, but...
Yeah, Gaga!
Gaga! But it's hard. It's a little exhausting, and
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Is she happier now than she was then? Is she happier then than she was now? I don't know. All I know is Keith Hudson is responsible for all of this.
Keith Hudson, tweet him, tell him you hate him. I feel like watching that too, that's a troubled girl, but I also see a girl that is just a teenager and it feels...
Just barely driving. Yeah.
Yeah, just barely getting behind the wheel. And... I don't know, sorting through like the more complex feelings when you realize like, oh, my family isn't perfect or I am not what I thought I was and I'm trying to figure out what I want to be. And I don't think it's necessarily a problem. I mean, we don't know everything just from that video, but it seemed normal and sad, but normal.
Sure.
In a lot of ways. Also, I liked that she was sitting in front of 3 gospel choir gowns.
Yeah, guys, we'll put this in the show notes, but go look this up on YouTube.
Which,
by the way, is the only way you can listen to this album now. It is not for sale anywhere online, other than like paying for a $400 physical copy of it. And
the real fans will.
Right. It's not streaming anywhere on Spotify or Apple Music. The only way to listen to it is on YouTube Or if you leave us a nice review on iTunes, good Christian
maybe
fun.
Maybe we'll send you a little.
Is that legal, what we just promised to do? Probably.
Wipe this from the record.
But no, I'll send you a link if you want it. Yeah, you know what? We need a new way to incentivize people leaving us nice reviews on Apple Podcasts each week.
A new way as opposed to what we had, which was nothing.
Yeah, in our preview episode, we didn't have anything. But this week, but I'm saying usually it's the same thing every time. How about every episode we change it? We change their sweet treasure in heaven that they get.
Dangle and treasure in heaven.
Can we promise a treasure
which
in heaven?
Moth cannot steal. Yeah, I think God's cool with that.
Cool. So if you leave us a nice review,
God
on
wants
iTunes,
us to monetize our.
Dude, God is all about capitalization.
All about
monetization.
Incentivize.
At some point,
capitalism.
Patreon bonus episodes.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
He loves
squeeze
it.
Squeeze what you can.
Squeeze what you can. That's second opinions for. So let's give our closing thoughts on Katie Hudson. Her name is Katie Hudson.
Yeah. This album
that you did listen all the way through.
Just like her childhood troubled. I think it's not terrible, but you lose the weight of the words she's singing underneath the singing and the lack of discipline and the wall of sound. And they have potential to be good songs, but there's just like this kind of overdone, self-important vibe that I think kind of undoes it, with the exception of
GP.
Yeah. And it to me, it sounded kind of like, I said this before, but kind of like a jam band instead of her own music. And I was kind of relieved to finish this album. But
like she's the new front man of the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
They're doing like 30-minute guitar solos with like their backs to the audience.
Wailing. But, you know, it is like a debut album. It's her first start. And it was so cool to... It was cool as a Katy Perry fan to hear very raw, young Katy Perry.
Sure.
And like get all into that and feel like, oh, this is her origin. And I got to hear that and know that about her and compare that to where she is now. Which, by the way, now, great voice, great discipline. Love it.
Yeah, although in the documentary, is she lip syncing on stage?
In Pieces of Me. Pieces of my parts.
Pieces of parts. Is she lip syncing on stage?
I don't know.
It looked like she was when I rewatched it.
That doesn't bother me for pop stars. They're working so darn hard up there.
I get it.
That I'm like, that's fine for me.
And I think, regardless, she's extraordinarily talented, obviously.
Yeah.
I was just curious about in that one. Also, I do think Swish Swish is a good song.
I love that song. I like
and the
feels.
Yeah. Do you like anything else off Witness?
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
Yeah. Swish Swish is good, and then everything
swish
else is
good,
like,
and
okay.
Everything is like a...
Yeah, it's like real blah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really hard. And I think this is something we'll confront at certain points when there is certain attachments to it that come from growing up with it.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to divorce it from those nostalgic feelings of singing along in the car and meeting her and hanging out for all of, what, 15 or 20 minutes, 16 years ago?
Your first kiss.
My first kiss. I was singing
was to
of her.
This song. You had your first child to this song.
I am a father.
You're sweet baby.
Yeah, I want to be Keith Hudson to my little kid so he'll make some damn good art.
Taking notes.
Yeah, that's right. But I feel like overall, just really based on the strength of Search Me, Growing Pains, more so Growing Pains than anything,
yeah.
That I have mostly positive feelings towards this album. And
not
there's
not
other
the
stuff
hedge.
We didn't listen
you
to.
Can, you can say that. I
when there's nothing
good.
Left, I think is a good closer.
Yeah.
It just keeps going up and up and up. I think that's a nice way
yeah,
to
Yeah, I wrote
in
that,
the
that
album.
I felt like the heart of her too, and it featured her voice nicely.
Sure. So the point of this show is not to crap on Christian pop culture, and it's not to proselytize, but be that as it may, we still want to be objective about this. So each week we're going to give whatever we're talking about, whatever we're examining, a thumbs up or a thumbs down in the form of a holy toast, raise our glasses high, our communion glasses high.
Yes.
Or a holy roast and send it to hell.
Straight down to the lake of fire.
Forever.
Bye.
The smoking section. All right. So, Caroline, Katie Hudson, holy roast or holy toast?
Gosh, this is hard. I want to give a third answer, but I can't do that on our first episode.
Hell no, you can't.
I
Heaven, no, you can't.
A holy lukewarm.
I'll spit you out of my mouth, bro.
Spit you right out. That's another Bible
ref. Revelation, lukewarm.
Anyway, I think I would give it a holy roast.
Holy roast?
I think so. I mean, purely objectively, but if I'm putting in context of fandom and Katie and everything I know about her, holy toast.
Well, you got, let's pick one. You're going holy roast, I think. No, you, it's okay. Go holy roast.
Okay, fine. I'll go holy roast. Holy roast. It's very good.
I'm going to go the nostalgic attachment angle. Growing Pains, man. I'll still listen to that song every now and again.
That's fine.
Completely detached from this podcast or any sense of duty. So even based on that song alone, I'm giving it a holy toast.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's very generous of you.
Our first episode, we do not agree.
Oof.
There's already division in the room.
Listeners, you could enjoy both sides of the aisle. Ooh, we're going to get tense here. We're going to have firing. We're going to have talking heads.
Well, listeners, we're going to have a David Byrne band, talking heads. So listeners, we want to hear from you as well.
Yeah.
If you like this album, if you miraculously heard it on YouTube or you own a copy of it, go to our Twitter at Christian Fun Pod and give it a vote. We're going to put up a poll the day this episode comes out. So if you haven't listened to it yet, form an opinion real quick. We'll keep it open for a few days, though.
Fast.
We're going to put up only two options, though. We're going to put up Holy Roast if you don't like it, Holy Toast if you like it. So go there at Christian Fun Pod.
Yeah, I mean, this poll is going to be big. It's going to be on the Twitter Moments page. It's going to be on Gangbusters. So you'll hear about it. Don't worry.
Realistically, this is weeks before the episode comes out. Realistically, how many votes do you think it'll get?
Oh my gosh.
More or less than 500.
Ooh, you know what I think it'll be?
What?
69.
Nice.
All
right, we got to take a break. But before we do, I want to play one last clip. This is, actually, you know what? I have two clips. In doing research for this, I found like there's not a lot about Katy Perry in the years. There's not a lot of output in between this album, 2001, and then One of the Boys in 2008. Mm-hmm. But I did find some demos that she was working on in between, which is kind of like some connective tissue that I think like fills in our idea of her as an artist and kind of the transition. So one's kind of interesting. So let's listen to this. My attention. I praised the Lord. I liked it. So I think you can hear there, she's an artist like going from one phase to another. And she kind of sounded flat on that one, but you could see where she was going.
Oh my god!
And what she was leaving behind.
Yeah, you see her struggling for two.
Yeah.
Ideologies that she's really trying to find her way.
Yeah, and it's really like fitting a square peg into a round hole. You just can't do it. So,
I'm so not ready for that.
And
play us out, Kev.
Okay, here's for real a clip from a very strange and haunting looking interview you can find of hers on YouTube. This is in Pomona, California.
Oh gosh.
Some lady, and you're gonna hear this lady crumpling paper right into the camera's microphone, so that's a little annoying. But this is the answer to the question: what would you say to any teenagers, any girls looking to get into the music industry? And this is what 16-year-old Katie Hudson had to say.
Be careful. Be careful. Stay whole and stay a child and stay young. And when you're in the business, don't get jaded. And remember that there's still a God. And remember what your motives were when you first started strumming your guitar.
Oh, man.
We'll be right back.
Oh, my God. Where'd you find that? Whoa. That is a jaded 16-year-old, man. What did they do?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations.
I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. What a great break that was.
Yeah.
I feel refreshed. I feel blessed.
I feel like my wallet just popped out of my pocket.
For some direct response advertising to help yeah. support the show?
Damn.
Wow.
I feel good.
It feels like we're still in the ad.
I'm ready to purchase.
Well, we got a new segment. All segments are new on the first episode of a show. Caroline, what do you got for us?
Okay. We're going to call this segment Bible Thumper Bumper Sticker. And this is basically these turns of phrase or witticisms that Christians like to throw around. And usually it's on some kind of merchandise or church sign.
A t-shirt,
a wall decal, a weird
I don't know, boards you hang in your house, a lot of decor. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, the board decors. So how about you read it and I try to figure out what it means? Because a lot of times this stuff is like riddles. Or like
some of them are kind of thinkers and some of them are like these really dark jokes. and some of them are just a lot of them puns. Okay, so I asked Jesus, "How much do you love me?" "This much," he answered. Then he stretched out his arms and died.
Oh my gosh. So this... this is Jesus Christ dying for our sins on the cross.
Right.
He says this much.
You know, like measuring, but with his...
Which is not biblical. He
nail marked
when
irons.
He was on the cross, he did not at any point say this much. I think he
I
said...
I love you this
he
much.
He said a lot of stuff.
Ow. He said a lot of ow, ow, ouchie.
Yeah, is that like a director's cut of Passion of the Christ situation? Or that but, Ewan McGregor one that came out a few years back where he's Jesus in the desert?
Oh yeah, I wanted to watch that one.
Maybe we will for this show.
All right, here comes number two.
Okay, here comes the boom.
God answers knee mail.
God answers knee mail. This is K-N-E-E.
That's right.
M-A-I. Okay. So, this is a, this feels very Y2K to me, where it's like, guys, we have electronic mail now.
.com.
So this bubble. Is, yeah, this is a .com bubble bursting on this, on this Bible Thumper bumper sticker. This is God answers prayers, basically. When you get on your knees and pray to God, he answers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. This one's got some layers.
I'm ready.
Warning. Exposure to the sun may prevent burning. And sun is spelled,
spelled
S-O-N. Oh, yeah.
I think I got this one. So this is, by the way, this would be great to play with people who are not Christians that come on the show. Like make a guess this? Who's like an atheist or agnostic.
Oh, my gosh.
This. So I believe this is the sun may prevent burning.
Yes.
This
exposure
is
exposure to the sun.
If you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then you will not go to hell and where you would burn forever if
burn
you did.
Burn for eternity.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Great.
this has been Bible Thumper Bumper Sticker. I have a running list for these, but I really do need help with this. So if you would like to submit yours,
like husbands do to wives. I mean, the other way around.
Hell yeah!
Hey, egalitarianism.
Please submit them. You can email them to us at
goodchristianfun@gmail.com.
Thank
or you.
You
can just tweet it.
You can tweet it
at Christian Fun Pod.
Whatever's easiest for you. I need help. So,
that much is clear. Oh. No, I'm JK. Oh. That was great.
Thank you.
This is your first PCast.
I know.
And you're doing great.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
And if you guys agree, tweet at Totem Spirit Wolf and just say,
compliments.
Hey, good job, girl.
Yeah, give me specific, beautiful compliments.
Oh, my gosh.
Or rich.
Don't you have enough of those from your husband?
No. I can't get enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And this...
Words of affirmation.
This brings us to one of our last segments, which is holy crap. To really test the limits of how many holy, holy branded things we can do on this show.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You may be on a road trip and you're flipping through the dials on your radio station. And if you're anything like myself or Caroline, even if you don't listen to it on the regs anymore, you can probably pretty quickly, easily identify when a Christian song is playing.
Yeah.
There's certain characteristics that may be prevalent in those songs. But sometimes you're not sure. So here's what we're going to do. I have a playlist, or should I say a praylist, of songs. A praylist of songs I'm going to play for Caroline. I'm looking at. She can't see what these songs are.
Uh-huh.
And it's her job, for the purpose of this segment, to tell me if she thinks these are Christian songs, holy, or if they're secular songs, crap. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do four different songs. I'm not going to trick you. At least one of these is a Christian song.
At least one.
At least one. Could be all four, could be half, could be three, could
okay.
be one.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we go. Here's the first song on our holy crap pray list. All right, that's 20 seconds in. I think that's enough. Caroline, is this holy or is this crap?
I'm going to guess crap.
All right, let's keep listening. This is Jars of Clay, No One Loves Me Like You.
Oh my gosh.
This is holy.
Collapsing was much softer, still falling.
They're odd, though. They could sound.
Yeah. Well, I thought them saying yeah instead of like,
amen.
Lord, you know, that was a giveaway for me.
Sure. All right, so that was Jars of Clay.
What a little peppy little song.
0-1 thus far.
Dang it.
Next song. Again, I'm going to play just the first 10 to 15 seconds of it. You tell me, holy or crap? Here we go. Caroline, is this holy or crap?
Oh, man.
And listener, please play along at home. And yell at your iPods right now.
Shout.
iPods, how old am I?
I don't think a Christian song would have such a peppy drum line.
Really? Okay.
Crap.
This is crap.
Every breaking wave. Dang it. Dang it.
What? No, that's... It's you too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
Wait, did you think it was Christian because it was...
Because there's an ocean metaphor.
Yeah, we should be explicit about this. One, tell if you're not... I'm sure we'll do like lyric-based games where we're not listening to music. One big dead giveaway for Christian songs is water stuff.
Oh, man. Lighthouses, waves crashing, beaches,
like a flood rushing
flooding,
over me,
raining down,
let the rain fall. We're gonna
washing,
get into it.
Washing bathtubs,
washing bathtubs,
pool time,
yeah,
jacuzzis,
crazy pool time.
We love our spas.
All right,
crazy pool time.
1-2. Let's play song number 3. Caroline, is this holy or crap?
Whatever it is, it's a bummer. I'm gonna say it's holy.
I got a truck.
No! Is this David Lynch's ass band? Gosh darn it.
This is David Lynch with These Are My Friends from his album Crazy Clown Time.
What you're listening to is my good buddy Kevin trolling me because I cannot escape Twin Peaks wherever I go now. My husband are talking about it all the time.
I mean, I come over and watch it with Nate.
Yeah, but
you could leave if you wanted to.
It's not exclusive to that night. I did watch it for the first time the other night. And
you loved it.
Loved it. Oh my gosh, it was terrifying. This is... I was going to say, like, this seemed a lot more normal than you guys make it out to be, and then that lyric happened.
Benny's got a yellow basket.
Is this David Lynch singing?
He is singing. Some of these on this album,
he's
he doesn't
sing.
Such an
old man. Also, get your damn boots off my couch.
I'm sorry.
Get your shoes off.
Here, we'll write it off for podcast expenses.
We're in my home, and Kevin just waltzes in here like he's...
Come on, man.
King of the couch.
1-3. Here's the final one.
Oh, I need to at least get 50-50 here.
We'll see. Yeah, you need a Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
You're such
Seth
a
Rogen.
Tricky trickster, though. Okay.
I'm not trying to trick no one. Here we go. Caroline, for the fourth and final song, is this holy or crap?
You gave me nothing on this one. You gave me nothing.
I gave you 20 seconds.
I asked you for everything.
You didn't ask
you
me?
You gave me nothing.
Okay. Holy or crap?
Okay. holy?
You're gonna face not spoiled by beauty.
It's you two again.
Dang it! You two! Once again.
Guys, we're going to find this the further and further we get into the show. But there's a crap ton of overlap between
every
contemporary
Christian
worship.
Band wants to be you two.
A lot of them do. Like a lot of the Hillsong stuff. Oh, most of worship music in the Christian circles has been heavily influenced by The Edge. That is a fact. So there's, yeah. So there's some confusion there. And that's been, holy crap. This is Song for Someone from Songs of Innocence by U2. First one was
Hot
Nobody
Plug
Loves.
For U2. Please go out and buy their album. Please make sure they become a successful band.
No One Loves Me Like You, Jars of Clay from If I Left the Zoo. Every Breaking Wave by U2, also from Songs of Innocence. And These Are My Friends by David Lynch on Crazy Clown Time.
Crazy Clown Time.
All right, what a crazy clown time it's been on this show. We did it.
Two clowns.
Clowning around.
Hey.
For the Lord. Who's that?
That was me squeezing my clown nose.
That sounded like a clown knocking on our door, on heaven's door. Bob Dylan. We're going to have to do those Bob Dylan albums. He put out two or three Christian albums in the middle of his
what?
Career.
What? You just blew my mind.
Yeah, man. He was like super born again
what?
In the 70s. Yeah.
Is
Slow
this
train
pre-fame
coming.
Or is this like mid-fame?
This is mid-fame. This is after all of his like his huge run in the 60s.
Oh my gosh.
It's an interesting time. It's an interesting time. We'll get to it.
Great.
So that was Holy Crap. If you want to listen to those songs, guess what, guys?
What?
We got a good Christian fun Spotify playlist? No, sir. Spotify playlist. So here's what we're going to do.
If only you guys could see the pleased look on his face right now. Oh, he's throwing his arms up. He's doing a little dance. Oh, now he's dabbing to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right.
People who know me know that that's true. So the Spotify playlist, every song that is available on Spotify that we feature on this show will be available on the Good Christian Fun : Spotify playlist. Or I think it'll just be called Good Christian Fun : the playlist.
Yeah, it's great for your quiet times, you know, when you're reading the word.
It's a soundtrack for your quiet times.
Soundtrack for, you know, kind of before church when everyone's shaking hands and talking. It's a good one to rock out to. Show that you're a good environment and a lot of fun.
Yeah, like Good Christian Fun. Guys, thanks for listening to Good Christian Fun. We're really excited to do this show. We hope we've kept it at a tolerable length.
We hope that you were at least able to take a dump in the time that you were here. I think that's a good measurement of time for me.
Yeah, we hope this has been a good...
Maybe a two-dump max episode.
Yeah, we're hoping for some two-dump chumps listening to this show. Like, just get on the pot and let it go,
yeah.
A la Elsa.
But this has been really fun, and...
And now we got to move into the final, maybe the most important segment of the show.
Yes.
Our closing, I'll say prayer.
Prayer circle.
Little prayer circle. Where we're not going to plug anything. That's for other podcasts. We're not going to do that.
We're fresh.
Well, we're so fresh. Mm-hmm. Like a WB drama.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, damn it.
What? Come on!
Stop making this a crossover episode. Gilly.
I wasn't gonna listen. We're not gonna plug anything. We're not gonna plug anything.
Speak
we're
for
here.
Yourself.
We're here to lift some things up, though.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting. Okay. Quick sidebar. God's planning. When you pray with other Christians, oftentimes, and I don't even know the etymology of this. Hopefully, we'll figure it out by episode two.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pray to God, like someone has a prayer request, like, oh, my mom's really sick right now, or oh, I'm out of work and I need a new job. You take that prayer request on for someone. You say, God, I want to lift up Caroline to you. I want to lift up her mom.
Uh-huh.
What does lifting up mean? We don't know.
Lift
quite.
Up to heaven.
I guess, yeah, in a sort of, I truly don't know. if someone out there is smarter than me and can tell me, like,
I don't think it's much more complicated.
Is it
than
biblical?
That.
Like, is it like, and they lifted a bunch of stuff up?
They
and
lifted it up to Jesus.
I guess.
Anyway, so we're gonna lift up a few things.
We got a few things.
If
to
you
lift
guys
up.
Could lift it up for us,
we're gonna lift up our social media handles and what we're enjoying in secular culture. So I'll start. I want to lift up at Kevin T. Porter
yes.
on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for receiving that. And as far as secular culture goes, I want to lift up Everything Now by Arcade Fire, which is an album everyone's been dogging on because there's
is
like
it new?
Yeah, it came out earlier this summer.
Oh, okay.
And people had a real negative reaction to it because there's three or four not good songs on it.
Okay.
But there's five or six good songs on it.
Hey, it's
Creature Comfort is a banger. I think Everything Now, banger. The title track, is banger. A banger.
Finger.
I think it is a banger.
I have an... Anyway, continue.
I want to lift it up.
Lift it up.
I want to lift up Wynn Butler and Arcade Fire. That's another band with a lot of like kind of vague Christian-ish lyrics. I'm sure we could get into at some point.
Yeah.
Listen, this format is malleable and elastic. This could be, we're going to do Christian stuff. We're going to be doing stuff that touches
yeah,
on Christian
or
stuff. Because I think
totally
that's an interesting conversation too.
Realm the music. We're talking about movies. We could talk about Christian speakers and personalities.
Yeah.
A lot of things. Books.
Caroline. What do you want to lift up?
Kevin, if you could please lift up my Twitter.
Okay.
It is at Totem Spirit Wolf.
I lift that up.
Yeah, if you could just lift that up with a lot of likes, retweets,
sure.
shares,
sure.
Quotes, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
No DMs. Well, maybe.
Are they open?
Yeah, they are.
You're married, though, so it's like, who cares?
Yeah. some freaks like that.
I keep my DMs open because you never know. When business opportunities might happen.
I'd also like to lift up Rihanna's new Stance sock collection.
Stance sock collection?
Yes. It is her newest line. She's done a few. And these are all her iconic fashion moments. I just really want to lift that up because I think it's outstanding. If someone wants to purchase those for me, again, you will find that on my Amazon wish list. Listeners, make yourself useful.
Well, and on that note, and on the topic of today's episode, I want to play this clip.
Katie has always been very true to herself. And I think that that's why people relate to her.
Approved by the queen. Rihanna's your queen, right?
I'm clenching the couch right now. So happy.
I'm so glad you said the couch. So happy about that.
No, when I hear Rihanna, it's pure release.
She validated her on Pieces of Poop, whatever that documentary
pieces
is called.
Pieces of Parts. That's a high praise. Rihanna does not dole that out easily. Yeah.
Which she says she's been true to herself. I'm like,
true to herself.
Which one, you know?
Whoa, Kev.
No, I'm not trying to pick fights.
Damn.
I blame Keith.
Damn. Shut up. Let's talk about Rihanna.
Okay.
Rihanna's great.
Rihanna's great. We can agree. And we want to lift up the social media handles for this podcast at Christian Fun Pod on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/Christian Fun Pod. You can email us at goodchristianfun@gmail.com.
At msn.com.
Share your thought. It's not MSN. That your dumb email's at msn.com because you're 55
Don't
years
say
old.
That. Hackers are going to find me.
Yeah, they're going to... I feel like that won't happen. But yeah, that is, and you can give us a call. You can give us a call at 601-691-6969. That's not true. I'm going to say it again. 601-691-4463. That's 601-691-4GOD. For God. Leave us a voicemail, or I'm sure we'll do like a call-in show at some point that goes super well.
Yeah.
But yeah, and leave us voicemail. And honestly, if you have anecdotes, fun experiences, memories of Katie Hudson. Maybe you are one of the few people like me that saw her when she was on tour, or you just have thoughts in general. Email us, record a voice memo, send it to goodchristianfun@gmail.com. That'll be fun, right?
That'll be fun.
It'll be a little good Christian fun.
Yeah, you might even say a good Christian fun.
Also, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and we'll send you the album for free. Just like take a screenshot and email it to us. We'll send it to you for free.
We'll send you an unnamed digital file folder, a zip folder full of
By the way, if hacks. Katy Perry's lawyers are listening, we're JK.
Oh, well, yeah. No way we would ever do that.
We would never do that.
We would never do that. We would make them pay and send it straight to you.
Yeah. And if you enjoy this show, tell your friends about it. Because we're just a teeny tiny baby podcast. We all know what we're doing.
And friends are all you really have in this world, because your family may die.
Oh, my gosh. What are you doing?
I don't know. I went farther than I planned.
Guys, this has been good Christian fun. Caroline, I'm grateful for you. Thanks for hosting this.
Kevin, I'm grateful for you too.
Yay.
You're my good pal.
Well, we got to figure out how to end this. And here's my pitch in episode one.
Let's
on the
hear
fly.
It. Mm-hmm.
Here's what we could do.
I'm nervous.
And all of Pod's people said
amen.
See you next week on Good Christian Fun. Yeah.
What is this prank? Bye, y'all.
Whether you're a firefighter or a man trapped in a loveless nightmare of a marriage, you never leave your partner behind. Next week on Good Christian Fun, we're watching Fireproof.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.